Good morning and welcome to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration that will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Wherever you are.
I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia.
Welcome to Being Here.
Yes.
Today we are demonstrating what this episode is about.
We're having fun.
Work as play.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, when you do go about your work as if it's your idea, it is playful.
And if you go about your work like it's your idea, life becomes fun. You know, it's not being imposed upon you. Now, the truth of the matter is, it's not being imposed upon you unless you say it is.
Mm.
And then work ceases to be fun because it's work.
You know,
who wants to go to work?
Shia and I shout out right now to Val and Leah. We just had a meeting with them. We were working on several projects, video projects and book projects, things that are happening. And it's so easy when you're in the midst of working on something, when you identify the next thing that needs to be handled.
The goal.
To suddenly see all the things that you need to attend to as problems.
Rather than just seeing that those things need to be attended to, and they, if you do it to do it, not to get it over with, but to be there for the process of creation in your work, then your work becomes a creative endeavor and expression of yourself.
If work starts to become a dramatic process, you can be sure you are adding something that is unnecessary to produce the result that you want.
Yes, that may be your boss wrong. But aside from that, let's talk about listening.
I love listening.
Yeah, because, see, most of us think all the time, and that thinking keeps us from being in the current moment of our lives. I'm not saying thinking's bad. Sometimes it's useful. You'll have to give me about an hour to think of a time when it was useful.
I'll give you an example.
Okay, good.
Yesterday, we did the international call with mainly folks from Europe, with people in the UK, and it was a lovely teleseminar that we did together. We got an email afterwards from our friend Elfie talking about how whole she felt afterwards, W-H-O-L-E, like holistic.
Complete.
Like she came back together. And basically, the only thing we heard her say was when we went around and we introduced each of the people who were on the hubs, people said, oh, and Elfie is here. And we said, hi, Elfie. And she said, hi back. That was all of the verbal expression that she had during the course of that seminar, but that we were listening to each other, simply the act of listening returns one to oneself so that you can experience you fully and completely, where when we're so busy going somewhere, sometimes pieces of us drop away.
Well, yeah. And so we need to, if you want to, this show is really about discovering the current moment of your life. And how you discover the current moment is by slowing down enough to be here for it, rather than trying to accomplish things. So what if today's show, you don't try to get somewhere or apply what we're saying to you, but just listen, you know?
Cough, cough.
Mm.
Yes, listening. Listening?
Now, listening is a verb. It is an action word. It is an active, intentional setting aside your thoughts on the matter to hear what another person has to say about whatever they're talking about.
We were talking Monday night alive in New York City. It's the first one we've done for a while. We had a number of people who were really happy we were back. And then there were also a number of people who were there for the very first time. And Sean and I were chatting with one of the individuals who we hadn't met before, and we had introduced the idea of listening, and they were talking about how challenging it was not to really perk up and only listen toward the things that they considered issues in their life or things they considered problems that they wanted to work on, how challenging it was to bring themselves forward to hear non-judgmentally, non-preferentially. And I thought that was really very wonderful that they were aware that they were toggling back and forth depending on the topic. So today, let's bring our awareness to how we're listening and see if you can keep fully engaging, because by the way, that's what makes life playful. When you drop back to think about something or because you've disagreed with something, that's when life starts to have a lot of stress. Did we run out of things to say?
I guess we did.
All right. Well, we have. I know that we haven't talked about our approach, which we may want to do before we have colors.
Okay, but our approach is anthropological. It isn't problem solution oriented. It isn't psychotherapeutic in nature. We're not trying to change or fix anybody. What we are interested in is discovering how to access and live in the current moment of our lives, and listening pulls you into the current moment if you don't either agree or disagree with what's being said, but bring your attention to hearing what's being said. We got somebody on the line?
Yes, we have people from New York to Hong Kong. So let's start with New York. We have Julie and Yen from the Bronx on the line. You with us?
Hi.
Hi.
I guess we have you. So tell us who you are
and what you do and why you're calling in to Work as Play.
Yeah, well, this is Julie, and I'm a high school principal in the Bronx. And
this is Yen. I'm a high school assistant principal working in the Bronx.
Yeah, we work in the same school, which should be obvious, but figured I'd say it.
Good.
Okay, so you clearly are working and playing together. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah, we do. Well, actually, just something you said made us both smile at the same time. You said something about when you drop back into thinking about something, then that, you know, work isn't fun. And
it produces stress.
Yeah.
Right.
And we were smiling because right before we called in, what we were working on was something called our school safety plan. And Yen this year is in charge of our school and our building safety. In our school, it's a very large high school in the Bronx, but there are actually 5 high schools within one building. And so this year, Yen is transitioning into the position of being the person who's in charge of all of the safety aspects of the building. So part of her job at the beginning of the year with that is to write a very comprehensive school safety plan. And with that plan, there's a lot of fact-checking and research and digging in to find out, you know, who exactly does what in every situation, down to, you know, what room number do you go to if in a certain situation. So we kind of both smiled when you said that, because both of us had been thinking that working on this plan was somehow, even though we know it's important, do you want to say it again? You said
yes.
Something.
Because I find myself in the past few days spending many hours completing these plans and thinking in my head, like, I should be in classrooms visiting my teachers and finding out how I can support them in their classroom so they are being the best that they can. So it was really helpful and also enlightening to hear you how when I was thinking, then it's no longer fun for me to be working on these plans, which are just as important because... Are you guys following so far?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Because as in the new position that I'm in right now, it is actually really important that I am familiarized with every aspect of a safety aspect of the building, Even things like where it is taking place in terms of rooms. But in my head, I have this prejudice about completing this task.
Well, here's the thing, Yen. If you are seeing it as a task to get over with, it will take longer and you won't have any fun.
Right. Yeah.
If you engage in it like it's something that you choose to do, that it's your choice, that it's not something put upon you,
mm-hmm.
like it's your idea. You know, so many people go about their lives like what they're doing isn't their idea, like their job isn't their idea. I mean, they may
right.
have gone to school for many years to learn how to become a teacher, and yet when they're in a classroom teaching, they think, oh, I could be doing something else. Well, that's a function of our minds. Our minds are always looking for something more or different or better because the mind can't be satisfied. So there's nothing, you see, in reality, nothing is more satisfying than anything else.
Right.
It's how you see it, how you approach it, what you say about it. You know, washing dishes, it can be just as much fun as going to the movies.
Right.
I clean this up because you're educators. I would have said washing dishes can be just as much fun as having sex. So there I did it anyway.
Yeah.
I see a couple of assumptions that you are making that you haven't actually looked at yet. And one is when you have the idea that, oh gosh, I really should be in with my teachers supporting them, you assume that the only way you can support them is when you are present physically in the room with them rather than when you are wholeheartedly attending to what you're doing, that you create a climate of wholehearted investment in what your teachers are doing.
Mm.
And the second thing is...
Did you get that? That the way you approach the things you do affects your universe.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. I lost what you were saying because I wasn't able to hear it clearly. The last part
okay.
of what Shia said.
So I said the way you approach what you're doing affects your universe, and your universe includes that you have teachers that you supervise and support in being better teachers.
Now, mm-hmm. we're familiar with your school, and we know that there's about 25% of the teachers that you have this year are new to your school. So they may not be first year teachers, but they are first year with your school. So clearly you want to make sure that you take care of them along with your entire staff. But here you are, Yen, doing something you've never done before that has a lot of different pieces and moving parts that you've never had to deal with before. You are currently in the midst of your own learning curve, and you
as are your teachers.
So in a certain respect, attending to going wholeheartedly and completing this safety with the building not only creates a literal safety net mm-hmm. for all of your teachers and students in the entire five schools that are there, but it also, you are directly involved with what it takes to successfully navigate a learning curve.
That's a really good point.
And, you know, and additionally, I have a suggestion. If you have that thought again, oh, I should be with my teachers, go directly back to what you're working with and see if that is code for, I don't know how to do this. I don't know where to look for this particular fact. I'm not sure where to assign this group of people, what room. That you wanting to jump into something that you are skilled at, that you know that you've succeeded at, that is in a certain respect easy for you, that mm-hmm. thought of, oh, I should be taking care of them may be code for, I've hit a roadblock here that I don't quite know how to handle yet.
It's true, because as I was working on the plan, I was writing to myself a bunch of questions that I did not know how to answer. It's really helpful speaking with you guys right now and listening to what you guys are saying, because I will be approaching this differently already.
That's great.
Well, if you relax and let yourself be there with the question as to what to do next, it'll manifest itself. It'll make itself known. If you upset yourself and try to distract yourself to not have to deal with it, well, then it will probably take a long time. Because, you know, we have these three ideas or principles of instantaneous transformation, the first of which is anything you resist or don't like or don't want.
Or judge.
Sticks around.
And it takes longer.
And it dominates your life. So then you think about it when you go home rather than be with your family.
That is true. I wanted to say no, that's not true, but it is true, because when I first started describing how I work with the plan, I was spending many hours. I felt like I was spending many hours, and it's true that what really contributed to me spending many hours is that I have so many of I don't know, and I don't really want to work on it. So I really appreciate this conversation right now.
I know we're moving toward the end of this segment, but let me just talk about the second principle for a minute, not like principle and vice principle, but idea. And that is that you can only be exactly where you are and as you are in the moment that you are. So I also know that one of the things that slows one down is when you identify something you don't have the answer for. Oftentimes there's a micro moment judgment that gets laid over top that I should have the answer.
I'm not good enough. I don't know how to do this.
I should be able to do this faster. And in that case, it may not have you step back just for a moment to know that there are people you can talk to who may already have the answer or who have ideas that you can bounce off that will spur ideas for yourself. You don't have to do it all alone.
Right. Yeah, and it's so interesting we're talking right now, because the person who did the plan last year reached out to me today and asked if I wanted help, and I said, of course. So we were going to schedule a meeting for this upcoming Monday to work on it together to complete, because he already had experience doing it last year.
You know, hey, we have to go to a break.
I have an idea about that, though. Can you come back with us after the break?
Yes.
Excellent. We'll be back shortly with Julian Yen. So come on back and don't
miss being here.
Your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you, too, can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com to receive free video and audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books that will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. Ariel and Shia also invite you to attend their fun interactive workshops in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Canes books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. So why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting transformationmadeeasy.com. That's transformationmadeeasy.com.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-888-346-9141. That number again is 1-888-346-9141. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
In less than 2 weeks, we are going to be in Hamburg.
Germany.
Yes.
Yes.
We're doing two courses there. The Freedom to Breathe, which is wonderful. It really allows you to bypass that busy, busy thought process that most of us have, so you can really be here.
And that's on October 5th. And on October 6th, 7th, and 8th, we're doing the power of listening.
And listening is so powerful that we've created this new course for Hamburg. Hope you will join us if you can make it and have the desire to. And then we come back to
the New York area.
And we're doing a course called Step Into Your Brilliance. And that's all it takes is stepping into your brilliance.
And that's October 20th, 21st, and 22nd, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday.
And it doesn't matter where you're listening from, you are invited. If you want to come, please join us.
Give it to yourself.
All right, we're speaking with Yen and Julie. And Julie. Hi. I know we have a few people holding, but we for sure wanted to do the third principle of instantaneous transformation.
Which is that anything that you allow to be exactly as it is completes itself. Whoa.
Whoa, in an instant.
Like that.
Getting a lot of background sound. You know, one other thing that Shai and I recognized, Yen, we were talking about over the break, is Monday is a lifetime away. You've set up an appointment to sit down with this person who you waited to reach out to you because you are still so determined to do things on your own. And it just hasn't maybe occurred to you to just have a chat with them 5 minutes in the hallway, make a moment before, after school, tonight, tomorrow, just say, hey, this is where I am in the process. They may just have ideas between now and Monday that will shorten the process for you. It could be instantaneous as opposed to...
transformation happens instantaneously. I don't know what that sound is, but it happens instantaneously. It doesn't happen over time. Change is over time.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes. I missed the last part of what Shia said. Can you say that again? For some reason, not able to hear well on our end.
Yeah. Transformation is instantaneous. Mm-hmm. Change takes place over time. You've got this job of being the safety officer as an overtime thing rather than you can handle it in an instant, and I know there are many details. So, but if you come from being an expert, you are an expert. If you come from being a beginner, you're a beginner.
And so Monday getting together could be a celebration and looking how to tweak it farther as opposed to finalizing. And there's just a way you're approaching it that I can tell is still going to take you longer than necessary because you have the idea that it's long, drawn out, and complex.
And you have the idea that you're not really great at this.
That's true.
Of course it's true. Of course, it's true. Hey, thank you so much for calling in,
both of you.
We have to take another caller.
Or we get to.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Let's.
All right. We have Cheryl calling in from Hong Kong. I believe you're in Hong Kong. Are you?
Yes, I'm in Hong Kong. Hi, Ariel.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Nice to hear your voice.
Is it daytime in Hong Kong or nighttime in Hong Kong?
It's nighttime. It's after midnight.
Oh, well, thank you for staying up so late.
I love it that we say good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You're kind of in between the two.
Right, you're in the morning already.
Yeah,
what can we do for you, Cheryl?
Okay, so this topic is really timely because I've recently had a surgery for a detached retina. And I've been off work for about 5 weeks now, and we'll probably go back to work in the next week or so, week or two. And first of all, during I guess the recovery process, I've had so many different emotions, and it's just been sometimes fun. For the most part, it's been fun, and I'm enjoying the time off. But it's just I feel sometimes I'm out of control. Not knowing what's going on with my eye when I'm in a lot of pain or wanting it to be over with or just wanting to be able to see, for example. And if I go back to, like, when I... Well, let me start again. So I guess as I have all this time off, I'm actually enjoying the time off, and I fill my time off easily, but in a slow pace, so to speak. I'm just taking care of myself, like doing things slowly, going to stretch classes so that I can keep my body moving, going to different healing things, listening to radio shows, which have been really helpful. But I still find at the end of the day that I can't get through everything. And as I start feeling as though I'm going, transitioning back into work environment in a few weeks, I feel like I'm already feeling the pressure.
I think it's wonderful that you can't get to everything and that you're recognizing that you're out of control and you've let yourself experience the emotions and the fight that goes on when you're not moving inside yourself, when you're not moving up to your expectations or standards.
It reminds me of when we lived in a meditation center in Europe for a couple of years because there was nothing to do. And then you're stuck with your minds wanting to get somewhere all the time. So it you could hold it, as Cheryl, as a meditation as opposed to a problem where you're just noticing how you're being rather than judging it as good or bad.
Okay.
The other thing is your mind is fast. Our minds are fast. So I can absolutely identify 10 things. I'm just making an arbitrary number right now. 10 things that I want to accomplish, many of which have lots of different pieces to it. So right now, Shai and I are, I'll just give you three or four. We're working on completing a book. We are putting together next year's actual physical calendar, which includes pictures, quotes, and we're also putting together the schedule itself so that we have it ready for the calendar. So there's three things. I can identify the different pieces that I care to work on, need to work on, want to work on, far faster than I can actually physically do any of those. So it's a, certainly a wonderful thing that you're going slowly right now. When you get back to work, you may be shocked at how much more effective you are. Because if you have a healthy business, you will have things that are not done at the end of each day. And that pressure to do it all actually slows you down or makes you ineffective. You get far less done.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. I can feel as well I'm going forward in time, worrying about something that hasn't, that
Well, that's really perfect what you just said, Cheryl, because your mind is a forward-thinking worrying machine. And what it does is it worries about futures that haven't happened yet.
But it worries about futures that haven't happened yet through your current circumstances. So when you get into work, you'll be worried about meeting a deadline, where now you're worried about how you will be able to function when you're at work. So wherever you are, whatever your
worry
circumstances
about something.
Are, sure, it's a
good
job.
Look, last week we were on a vacation and my back went out. And my mind was worrying about whether this was the end of my working career because my back was bothering me. 2 days later, my back fixed itself.
But in the meantime, we discovered how strong Ariel was in moving luggage and whatnot. You know, it's funny how life will support you if you keep relaxing.
Yeah, that's, 'cause I feel like I haven't, well, on the one hand, yes, I have been relaxing, but that relaxation time gets preoccupied or gets, all the thoughts and stuff take up time.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Of course, the title of this episode is Work as Play, but you do work as work. So if we take right now, your current job is to heal, is to get better, is to help. And I'm hoping your eye is getting better, by the way. But that becomes a very serious, pressured endeavor when you cannot make your retina become stable any faster than your body is going to let it happen. But there's a pressure in you to produce it, which has this process be less fun than it could possibly be.
Oh yeah, I definitely I've been going through that the past couple of weeks.
You should let yourself enjoy being where you are rather than think about where you should be, could be, would prefer to be right now.
Yeah, that's good, because I do also find myself wanting this to just definitely be over, wanting to join my friends to do things, or it's summer, it's still summer here, so go to the beach, or there are things my mind goes to and says I'd much prefer to do that.
Well, you know, it's one of the things that I find that people often underestimate when they're healing from something is the amount of energy it takes simply to do that. And I was speaking with a friend of ours yesterday, Pat. Shout out to you, Pat. Hope you're having a great day. Who recently had some surgery. And, you know, one day you're feeling well, and then the day after the surgery, you're really, really tired. Your body is going through this healing process. And there's an event coming this weekend. We have some friends, Walt and Val, who are getting married. Shout out to you guys. And she's invited. She may or may not go. Pat may or may not go to the event. It actually may be more celebratory and more fun for her to sleep. So you have these ideas of what's most fun and for you, but it may be that being quiet in a dark room and going to sleep is actually
what
more
your
playful.
Body and what your body needs right now.
Yeah, I like the sound of that.
Rather than your ideas about what you'd prefer. You know, yes, we have said that life shows up. It may not meet your preferences, but it shows up the way it does. Like right now, Puerto Rico is being destroyed by a hurricane. Mm-hmm. That's what's going on there. I guarantee you the people that are there, their preference is for it not to be there. But that doesn't change anything.
That won't stop the wind.
Right, or the rain. So your preferences don't change anything, but they can distress you. See, if you think, oh, I could be at the beach, well, no, you couldn't because of the condition your eye is in right now. It would not be a good thing. So,
yeah.
So entertaining yourself with what you could be doing is, as a distraction, does not support you.
But you get to meet how your mind is structured because the idea that you should be doing more, you could be doing more, the thoughts that you have are unique to the culture of Cheryl. They're pretty common, but they're still specific to you. And normally when you're so busy at work, you don't get to see that how much extra pressure you put on yourself. And here you are with the luxury and the permission to do nothing, and you have a hard time giving yourself permission.
But it's easy to go to work because there's a structure, and this nothing that you're in right now doesn't really have a structure other than rest and be kind to yourself. So I think it's really good for you, Cheryl.
Yeah, I like that. That's good prescription.
Yes, and we're going to leave you with that.
Enjoy
and thank
your
you,
rest.
And thank you for calling in. We have another caller that we should take.
Because we have just a couple minutes left on this segment. So let's go back to this country. Let's go to New York City and Peter.
Hey, Ariel and Shia, can you hear me?
Oh, Absolutely. We can. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Good.
What can we do for you, sir?
Well, you know, I could really relate to some of the stuff that Cheryl was talking about, even though my situation is very different, about dealing with time that isn't structured.
Yes.
My time, I really structure my own time because the kind of work that I do, which is sewing custom clothing, is largely sort of like a freelance type thing. So, and sometimes I find myself with more time for a project than I actually need. So it's up to me to, you know, make sure that the work is done according to a schedule, if I have a fitting, that I'm ready for it, and so forth. And
yeah.
It's just really interesting to see how my mind works in terms of, like, the pressure I put my, the difficulty sometimes I have with just letting myself rest.
Yes.
You know, I have this kind of feeling like, oh, I should be doing more. I should be doing it faster.
Yes.
Oh, that's a perfect place to take a break on, because I have a feeling that's a pretty universal thing. Can you come back with us after the break?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, we'll be back with Peter.
So come on back. And don't miss being here.
Your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Cane's online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. Transformationmadeeasy.com, the Excellence Club. This moment is precious, and being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, you can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at transformationmadeeasy.com.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-888-346-9141. That number again is 1-888-346-9141. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back. We really appreciate you. As our listener, we want to do a special shout out to our listeners in Concord, California, Langshi, China, hope I said that correct,
Roswell, Georgia, Tokyo, Japan,
New York City, including Peter,
Dublin, Ireland,
El Paso, Texas,
and Prince George, British Columbia, Canada.
There's also Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we've often said, hey, if we haven't said where you're from, write into us. And this week, Craven from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada wrote in. Thank you for writing, and thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you.
We appreciate it. By the way, also, my friend Susan Finch and I, she is a speech and voice coach. She teaches at Juilliard, and she teaches at NYU, the Atlantic Theater School. We're leading a series of evening courses early November, the first three Wednesdays of November, on Speak Up. Speaking Up. It is fun. It is lively.
And you get to move through those fears you have that you have nothing to say that's worthwhile.
So if you're available to come to the New York City area, join us. If not, you may need to wait until we do it all in one place in Cambridge, England, in the spring. All right. We're with Peter. You with us?
Hi.
Hi.
You know, I think... we were addressing it earlier. I think everybody has the idea that they should or could do more or could do things faster. But if you look at the second principle of instantaneous transformation, could you possibly be doing anything more than what you're doing right now?
In this moment, no.
Well, what if there's only this moment?
And in this moment... Mm.
And this moment.
And this moment.
But what if there's only the current moment? You see, there's an illusion of past. There's an illusion of future, Peter. But the reality is your life is an expression of this moment and what's happening in this moment.
Yes. Yes. And no, I mean, I've heard you guys say that. And I think I've heard it.
But
and
see, when
I
you
also
said,
recognize
yeah.
that... I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble hearing because I was asked not to use my headphone.
So go ahead, keep going.
Okay, yeah, so it's sort of like what you were saying to Julie and Yan, that to Yan in particular, that like my work sometimes, first of all, I love what I do. I love to create clothing, and it's a joy. But I also recognize that there is a layer of pressure that I put on myself that makes it less fun.
There's another thing you said earlier that caught my attention. You said about having more time than you actually need. But there's a an old saying when I used to lead seminars on time and project management that work expands to fill the time available. So you'll create extra work if you have extra time.
Most of us don't like the unknown. So if you have something that will take 5 minutes, that'll give you 5 hours with nothing scheduled, nothing planned, you don't know what you're going to do, you will probably fill 4.5 hours with that 5 minutes of work, thinking about if it's time to do yet, if you want to do it yet, talking to yourself.
That's so true for me.
Yes. I'll tell you one of the things that has really supported me is using our calendar and actually allotting, like at 10 o'clock, I'm going to do this project for an hour, because otherwise I have lots of time and I know I have time to get things done, but I find if I make an appointment with myself, it makes it so much easier and so much more fun than if I talk to myself about when am I going to do it.
Right.
And I'll bet you if you have a dress fitting or a shirt fitting, you don't blow the person who's coming over to try that thing on off. So if you set up a time with yourself and you don't blow off your appointment with you, you may discover you're having a whole lot more fun and a lot less pressure at work.
Yeah, it's interesting too, Ariel, because, you know, when it's a client, it makes it so much easier because it's like they're coming on Tuesday. It has to be ready for them. But when it's me with myself, I'm less likely to honor that.
Well, maybe that's a clue. Maybe you need to be kinder to yourself and keep your word with yourself and see what happens from there.
Yeah.
You just simply haven't recognized, Peter, that you are your most important resource. And that people don't just come to you because you do amazing work and you create great fashions, but how they feel when they put on your creations and they see themselves. And there's an extra added something that happens if the person who's created it likes himself, then wow.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
Thank you, guys.
Have a great day.
We have another caller.
All right, Christina, I'm not sure where you are today. Where are you?
Hi, guys. I'm in New York, New York.
All right. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I love the topic today, work as play, because, recently I was let go from my job, and I realize now that it wasn't fun for me. It caused a lot of...
I have a question for you. Have you ever had a job that was fun for you?
Over time.
No.
See, that's the problem. The problem isn't the job, Christina. The problem is the attitude.
Because I remember when you first got this job, I know that there was driving involved, you got a car, and you were like so excited about your playlist and about listening to different artists and what you got to get involved in on your commute. But I guarantee you, once you stopped going about it like it was your idea, that commute was a total drag.
True.
And you know, it's like when you get anything that you've wanted, there's a period of elation for maybe a day to a week, if you're lucky, and then it becomes part of you, and there's a downward spiral of, oh, hell, I have to put gas in the car, rather than, oh, I love this car.
Yep.
So, you know, life degrades. There's entropy. Things devolve. And the question is, are you going to be responsible for your life, or are you going to blame your satisfaction level on outside circumstances like the work that you have to do? See, you got let go of your job, and I am certain it's because your enthusiasm for the job waned. And you didn't produce like you did the first week or two. And it became more and more of a drag to be there. And your employers got the message.
Well, it wasn't a performance-based layoff. They had a corporate layoff. It was their company's not doing well, so they had a mass layoff.
I believe that, and I know that to be true, but having been a business consultant for many, many companies, huge and small, they never lay off the people whose attitudes are so, they find another way to repurpose them if the person is really
engaged, like they love being there. See, I guarantee you, you complained to yourself about this job.
Not the job, the drive.
That's the job. You see, you may say not the job, but the drive, but you were complaining that you had to do it.
See, that's kind of like, well, I love my apartment, but and I'd love it if it weren't in my neighborhood. Or I love my husband, and I'd really love him if only he didn't do X. Or but that is that person. That person does do X. Your house is in that neighborhood.
The job included the drive. So when I say that, you find the apparent contradiction. But it's not a contradiction. It's got to do with thinking that your satisfaction is determined by your circumstance.
Okay.
See, now, here's the thing. You know, when you said you got laid off or there's a restructuring and they downsized, you don't sound excited about this. You are not having the job search be playful either. You going about it as if this is not your idea either.
Yeah, I'm upset.
I can't see that.
But you think that the upset is caused by having been laid off, as opposed to being laid off has exposed your upset. I don't know if you were listening to Cheryl, but when Cheryl's talking about this enforced break from work because her retina detached from her eye, she went through panic and pressure and feeling like she should be moving faster. We've known Cheryl for a number of years. She has that thought process, that type of upset, whether she's doing well or not. So what you're meeting in this break of continuity is how, you know, the underpinnings of what comes with you all the time. It may be in sharp focus or relief right now, but it is certainly not caused by
your circumstances.
And if you see that, oh, wow, you are so empowered.
Well, then you're free. But right now, you are the victim of the circumstances of your life rather than you actually like the idea that you don't have to go there anymore. In fact, I guarantee you, you wanted out.
I don't know. I mean, I wanted the drive to stop.
You wanted the drive to stop. So, it stopped.
Yeah.
So it's perfect. I tell you, you want what you get. You just don't like it sometimes because somehow you think you can get away with complaining about how your life is to you without any consequences.
And really, in your mind, it's so clear. And I love you. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for exposing how you see so we can all see ourselves. You actually think that the the drive is separate from the job, that you still liked the job, but the drive was part of the job. They are married together. So when you're complaining about the drive, you no longer wanted that job.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be complaining about the drive.
And if you get that, it's going to be so much easier to look, because you won't be coming from being victimized by being laid off, rather than, wow, whew, I'm freed so that I can go on to the next thing that it will be a better situation for me. I realize now driving's not my thing, so I'm not going to take something so far away, no matter how good of an opportunity it looks.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Perfect. You know, we're coming to an end here. We have less than a minute left, but we so appreciate you calling in today, Christina. And we wish you lots of fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So next week's show is forgiveness, including forgiving yourself for losing your job, forgiveness and new beginnings. How perfect.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week.
So come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another empowering episode of Being Here.